morning, everyone. It's time to begin our worship service at the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. Don't be too close to that mic. We have a good crowd this morning. Thank you for coming and glad you're here. And we appreciate all the people that are still online out there. Invite you to the service at any time you can come. And if we begin our worship service, I'd like to read a scripture taken from James, beginning in chapter 1, beginning in verse 2 through 7. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him who asks in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven by and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's a good lesson there. So we, of course, the Bible's full of good lessons. But again, we have visitors today, and we always appreciate visitors so much. Invite you back anytime you can come. And now with worship and song.
Good morning. We'll begin our worship and song with Holy, Holy, Holy. If it's convenient for you, would you stand as we sing?
Oh! Please be seated.
Sing Seeking the Lost. Following this song, we'll be led in prayer.
If you'll pray with me, please. Oh, dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful to be able to gather in a place such as this today. Father, we're thankful for being able to be out and about. And we know, Lord, that sometimes we do take that for granted, especially in the wake of what has been happening recently. Help us, Lord, to appreciate more the freedoms that we have and not take them for granted. Lord, we see in the news all the time the fear that is taking place in this world. And it is easy to become burdened and overwhelmed by it. And Father, help us to remember those who were wandering in the forest. And even though they did seem to lose their faith, you were always there to guide them. Help us, Lord, when we feel like we are losing our faith, to look at those lessons that were taught to us from so many years ago and to continue to look to you for the ways that you provide for us, look to you for strength, for guidance, and above all, Lord, let us look to you for knowledge. Grant us the wisdom, Lord, that we need to be able to make better decisions on a daily basis. Help us, Lord, to be able to stand strong when we face adversity. Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings that we see, the the weather that we're enjoying outside, the gift of being with friends and family, and again, the ability to be here, gathered in your presence to worship you. Help us, Lord, to not take such things for granted. Lord, we're so thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and the salvation that we have through him. The gift of everlasting life is the best gift of all. And Lord, as the world looks to you during this season, let us not rely solely on this season to look to you. Help us, Lord, to always have you in the forefront of our minds, guiding our actions, guiding our thoughts, and guiding our words. Father, we do pray for the forgiveness of our sins, because we know that they are many. And we ask, Lord, for the strength and the humility to be able to forgive those who've sinned against us. Father, we ask for your blessings upon us as we continue to go forward in this world. We ask, Lord, that our hearts will be open to the message that's been prepared for us today. And we give you thanks, God, for that message that's being delivered. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Before our scripture reading and lesson this morning, we'll sing To Canaan's Land. Sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse.
At this time, if you have children that would like to participate in the teaching little children's training class, they can now exit the auditorium and head out to the right following the crowd. Our scripture reading this morning will be Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes upon it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads, and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work.
Perhaps I didn't hear properly, but it sounded like one of the kids was saying, Yahoo, Yahoo, as they left the auditorium. And that's good, because if they're excited about going to join together and hear Bible stories and sing Bible songs, that's a good thing. And I hope all of us had that attitude in our hearts this morning as we came together to worship God. Because it is a great opportunity. It is a blessing, a privilege. And I've already been blessed by the songs that Josh has led, by the prayer that Matt has led before us as well, by the reading that Will did for us earlier. And all that will follow, it's all designed to help us be built up and strengthened in our faith. And this is the will of God, that we do this, that we come together like this. And it makes a difference to be with fellow Christians, to see smiles on faces, to share our greetings, and all it's just great. And we're so glad. It's good to see the good number that's here this morning. I think, again, we're probably getting a little bigger each week. But regardless, and I know there's many of you that would like to be here but are not yet ready, and that's okay. We want you to be prayerful about that. And do what is best for you. But in the meantime, let's all make sure that we are doing what we can to strengthen our souls, to draw closer to the Lord every day, and to be his servants as best we can. As Gene said, we're glad for visitors that are among us today. I've already met one that I had not met before, and I know there's probably others, but we are happy that you are here. And hope that you will come and be with us anytime you can. If we can be of assistance in any way, please let us know, and we'll do all that we can to help. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6, and we encourage you to come back and join us for that. Greg will be preaching this evening. He's been working on his lesson and practicing it, and I know he's got something good for us. So I hope you'll come out and join us for that. And let's make this the Lord's Day. It is indeed the Lord's Day, as every day is, but in a special way, we want to draw closer to him. Now get your Bible out. I hope you've got it open already, or your app is fired up and ready to go, because I want you to go to the passages that I'm going to be looking at and see for yourself. This is the Word of God, and let's work together to help each other understand better what God has said in his Word. In late August of this year, the Morgans and I made a trip over to Haywood County, North Carolina, to a community called Crusoe that had been devastated by flooding that were a result of Tropical Storm Fred. It was just shocking to me to see the damage that water can do to sturdy homes. And many of them were swept off their foundation or completely leveled or damaged where there would have to be extensive repairs. And I thought, wow, what do you do in a situation like this? In fact, I found an article online called Rebuilding After Disaster, What You Should Expect. And I found this line at the very beginning of the article very helpful. It says this: when a disaster destroys a home, the first decision the homeowner needs to make is whether to rebuild. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, if some of these homes have been in the path of a flood, even if it's a 100-year flood, maybe it's not a good idea to rebuild on that spot. But until you make that decision, until you are fully bought in, invested in that idea, I'm going to do this, then you're probably not going to do it. You shouldn't do it. until you've made that decision. In another sense, our spiritual houses have been swept away to some extent during these past several months. Things have happened that we never would have imagined. We've had to shut down the building for a time. We never expected that to happen. And some have looked at their faith and they've said, well, did I really need it anyway? Maybe it's time to just kind of back off and not do what I once did. In other words, maybe it's time for us to think, do we need to rebuild? Do we have the heart to rebuild? That's been our theme all 2021, based on Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 3. There is a time to cast down, there is a time to build up again. And we're hoping that all of us will make that decision. I'm going to examine my spiritual life very closely, survey the damage that has been done, and then what needs to be rebuilt, that's what I'm going to do. But today we're going to get to that question. Are we really invested in that? Have we reached that point yet of saying, this is what I'm going to do, and I will? In other words, are we fully resolved to rebuild? Let's go to Nehemiah, the passage that was read earlier as part of what we're going to be looking at. Nehemiah, and we'll start in chapter 2 in just a moment. But let's get our context here again before we get into it. This takes place after the exile. Judah was carried away into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And before they were carried away, Jerusalem was destroyed. The Babylonian army had just smashed almost everything. The walls, definitely, the temple, it was all destroyed. But now the people are back, and initially they take a little time, but they do get the temple rebuilt. Not like Solomon's temple, but it was rebuilt. But it's been a while, and the walls are still down. And that means they are vulnerable. It's like having a house where you don't have a door on the front, you know. It's just open. Anybody that wants to come in, any time of the day or night, they come in. Well, that's the situation in Jerusalem. Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer to the king of Persia, was given permission by the king to come and rebuild those walls. And so that's what we're looking at in the book of Nehemiah. And chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 is where we're going to start, because here is where he meets with the leaders of the Jews initially. He's telling them, this is what we've got to do. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. I said to them, and these are the leaders of the Jews that are living there now, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them that the good hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us arise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Now, that latter phrase is an image. It is a way of saying they made up their minds, that's what we're going to do. Now, they probably did not expect what they were going to have to endure as time went on, but this is where you have to begin. You have to say, we're going to do it, and they strengthened their hands. And I see in that the idea of being fully resolved to rebuild. Okay, we're going to do this, Nehemiah. They didn't know Nehemiah. He had just come in from Persia. And probably many of them had never heard of him before. But he is acting on the king's authority and, more importantly, God's authority. So now they've made the decision. We're going to do that. But when you go to chapter 4 now, chapter 4 verses 1 through 3, we're going to see there is opposition. The people that have been resettled in the land of Judah by the Babylonians, they're not so eager to give up all the things they've had, and they don't want to see the walls rebuilt. And so here's part of what we're seeing in Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now when Sanballat, this is one of the leaders of the Gentiles around them, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at the Jews, and he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Right now, it's only mockery. But sometimes mockery has its effect, doesn't it? When people mock us, it makes us lose heart and maybe even decide, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. And that's what they're trying at this point. They're saying, well, let's just laugh at them, let's mock them, let's ridicule them, and they'll give up this job. In fact, that last jeer that was given there, a fox, if it goes up on the wall, a fox is not a big animal. In fact, it's a very light animal, very nimble on its feet. It's not like a bull is walking on the wall, which might destroy it. No, even a fox is going to break it down. In other words, they can't do this. What they try to do will be easily thrown down. And so they hope they are going to discourage the people. But read on down to verse 6. In verse 6, we find this. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now, they're not through yet. There's still a lot of opposition to come, a lot of work to do, but they had a mind to work. And again, that's the idea of being fully resolved to rebuild. We're going to do this. And yeah, they're laughing at us. Doesn't matter. And they're going to come at us viciously, trying to hurt us. Doesn't matter. We're going to go at it. We're going to keep on rebuilding this wall. Now let's go down to verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Again, these are the enemies. Okay, the tactic of mocking them is not effective. Let's just fight them. And they're going to come at them with swords and spears and who knows what else. But in verse 9, I want you to look at this. We pray to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In other words, there's a combination of God's help and what people can do. And that's usually the way it is in the Bible. There are exceptions to that. But God will call upon us to do our part. But behind the scenes, God is going to make it successful. And so here they pray to God, which is exactly the right thing to do. But they also set a guard, which again is exactly the right thing to do. They're doing what they can, but they know that God will do what they can't. And again, that's a great key to rebuilding the wall. Now, in verse 14, Nehemiah chapter 4, look at verse 14. And here is what we find there. I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the officials, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. In other words, remember, what is at stake here? And that's a good question we should ask when we're asking, do we rebuild our faith or just kind of back off and forget about it? What is at stake? And it's not just my soul that is at stake. It's also the souls of my loved ones, my friends, others around me. But most of all, remember, God is not going to abandon his people. He is with them every step of the way. And then down in verses 19 and 20, there the wall is extensive, and so people are scattered. Some of them are working almost in isolation, and that's why this is said in verses 19 and 20. I said to the nobles, to the officials, to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So again, you see, they're doing what they can. He's making plans to sound an alarm wherever there may be an attack. They don't know where it's going to come from. But wherever you hear the trumpet, everybody go over there and let's join together and repel the enemy. But don't forget, our God will fight for us. Let's go now to chapter 6. And while you're turning there to chapter 6 of Nehemiah, let's just back up and observe that rebuilding the wall was not an easy task. It required a lot of courage. It required a lot of exertion, loss of sleep, having to separate from one's family while you have left your countryside home to go in the city and rebuild the wall, which is what many of them did. There was a lot of sacrifice there. But chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, it all pays off. Here's what it says. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Now, it's hard for us to understand, but apparently that was just astonishing. Nobody would have dreamed it could have gone that quickly. But it was completed in 52 days, verse 16. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. That's how astonishing it was. No human power could have done this. I mean, it was human power. People were pitching in and doing their jobs. But even the enemies saw this is the work of their God. How else could it have been done so quickly and so efficiently? Their God had to be with them. And this is a very stirring account, is it not? I mean, we love the book of Nehemiah for that reason. Because there was a great need, there was a great cause, and when they pitched in and knew that God was with them, they accomplished something incredible. They were fully resolved to rebuild. Now let's talk about us. Let's talk about rebuilding our spiritual walls of security. Rebuilding our spiritual walls of security. I'm going to begin in Hebrews chapter 12 with a statement we find there. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13, and then the first part of verse 15. Here's what he says. And remember, the people to whom the writer was writing this were doubting whether they should go on. They were having to suffer for their faith. Some of them were ready to throw in the towel and just quit being Christians. And the whole idea was, don't. Keep on, persevere. Well, he says this in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And all of that is imagery that, again, sounds like they strengthened their hands for the work. And that's what we've got to do sometimes. It gets hard sometimes. And yet we have to strengthen our weak knees. We have to lift our drooping hands. And notice what he says in verse 15, the first part of it. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Now some will teach that if you are the recipient of the grace of God, you're not going to fail. There's no way you can fail, even if you don't want to succeed. This sounds otherwise. This says the grace of God is available for everyone, but you might fail to obtain it. And therefore, see to it that you don't. That's where we're at right now. As we're coming out of a very difficult time in our lives, a very challenging time, we need to remind ourselves this is so important. The grace of God. We can't turn our backs on that. We've been unable to gather with the saints at times. We've not been able to do the things we once did. And some have even questioned whether they need this fellowship or not. And I'm not talking to people that, because of their health, are not yet able to come out. I understand that. But if it's a matter of, do I really need this? Yes, we really need this. We need to be together as much as possible. We need to continue in the faith and doing all that we can. And not relaxing our efforts. We've got to be fully resolved to rebuild. I mean, remember what Jesus said to two of the churches in the letters to the seven churches of Asia. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, for example, the church at Ephesus, they were busy, busy, busy. But listen to what he says in verse 4. I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Does it matter what's in our heart? Absolutely. It's not just what we're doing, it's what motivates us. And Jesus saw they were very active as a church. Read the verses before that, and there's no doubt about that. But they had abandoned the love they had at first. Look at chapter 3, verse 15, Laodicea. And Jesus said, I know your works. In fact, he says that about every one of the seven churches. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. Has that happened to my faith as a result of this pandemic? These extraordinary circumstances? Has my faith become lukewarm or even cold? I need to be fully, fully invested, fully resolved to rebuild. And I want you to remember the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Here is Jesus talking with Peter. This is before the real trials are going to come. They're going to come and arrest Jesus. They're going to interrogate him. They're going to persecute him and beat him and torment him and then kill him on the cross. And Peter has said, well, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'm going to go with you all the way. And here's what Jesus says in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. I don't think that's a one-time thing. I think Jesus prays for us now. We're told twice in the New Testament that Jesus intercedes for us. What's he saying? I think he sees that sometimes we're sifted like wheat. Does he care? He absolutely does. And like he did for Peter, I'm praying for you. And when you turn, then you go and strengthen others. And that's what we can do. That's what we do every time we come together. That's what happens when I pick up the phone and call somebody, check on them, see how they're doing. When I send them a message by email, put a card in the mail, I'm doing that. I'm trying to strengthen others. And it's important. It's the will of the Lord. So yeah, we're going through a very challenging time, but let us know that the Lord prays for those who are being sifted like wheat. And one more point I want to make, and I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. That is the need to strive. And I'm going to focus on one Greek word. I've done it many times in the past. This is such an important concept. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and we'll see the word in the English, and we'll talk about the word in the Greek. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, do your best. And the King James says study. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed. Rightly handling the word of truth. The word there for do your best is spoudazo. Spoudazo, and I'm going to give you a couple of quick definitions here. First from Martin Gingrich says, be zealous or eager. Take pains, make every effort. Douglas Moo, in his comments on this passage, says, exercise utmost effort without delay. But maybe we can see it better by thinking about ball games that we've watched. Have you ever seen a ball game where at the end of the game, players are just lying on the field? They have used every last ounce of energy they have. And that's what they mean when they say, I just left it all on the field. Because that's how much they wanted the victory. That's what Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best. The old English word study had that idea. For us, study means break out the books. But he's really saying, give it everything you've got. Do not hold back. Be fully resolved. And here's three other passages, and we're just going to go through them quickly, that also highlight that idea of spoudazo. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore strive. Spoudazo. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. He'd been talking about the Jews that never made it to the promised land because they lost sight of the goal and were only focused on the present. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Or go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Peter says this, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. Spoudazo. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But you got to be serious. You got to give it everything. And again, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent. Spoudazo. Be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. You hear the idea there? It's often found in the New Testament, that word. In other words, Christianity is not a half-hearted thing. You can't say, well, okay, I'll be a Christian today, but tomorrow maybe not. You have to be fully resolved. And when times come, like they've come upon us these last several months, without that resolve, we're just going to wash downstream and we'll be lost. We need to realize the value of our faith. The value of our faith and how important it is to us, to our families, to our friends. And as I survey my faith right now, coming out of this difficult time, is there something that needs to be repaired, rebuilt? I will, with God's help, and that's the only way we can do it. I will rebuild. One other passage, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41, a familiar scene. Jesus knows his time is at hand to be arrested and to begin that period we call the Passion. And he is troubled, greatly troubled. And so he takes his three closest apostles, Peter, James, and John. They go to a place in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, you wait here, I'm going to go over there and pray, and while I'm gone, you pray. It's nighttime. People get tired at night. Sometimes even during the sermon. But you can understand, you know, they kind of get heavy with sleep. And so Jesus comes and he finds them not praying, but sleeping. And so Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, so you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, was that only for Peter? Or does it have relevance for us? Yes, for us. Because we may say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm going to do my best. Are we doing what it takes to continue in that? Again, do we need to rebuild? No, not everybody will. Some will say, I'm actually stronger in my faith as a result of this pandemic. They have used their time well and they have really fortified their faith. But others of us may have to say, I didn't do so well at this, and my habits in that were not so good. I need to rebuild. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to be fully resolved and do it. Right now, some of you need to be fully resolved to obey the gospel. You believe in Jesus as God's Son. Are you ready now to repent of your sins, turning away from them? Are you ready to confess Jesus before others and today put on Christ in baptism? Are you fully resolved to follow Christ, then let's do it. Everything's ready. Let's do it. And if you have done those things and yet you've not really been continuing with the Lord and you know you need forgiveness, let's pray together. If you're ready to repent of those sins and put them behind you, let's pray for God's forgiveness. Whatever we can do to help you, we want to do it. So come as we stand together and sing.
Why keep Jesus waiting?
We always enjoy announcing people who have decided to become identified with the church here, and we're happy to do that again this morning. We have two different family units that we're going to introduce, although you probably know these by now. Kelly and Chip Nelson have been with us now for a few months. Their first time with us was kind of interrupted by a thing called COVID, but they've overcome that. They come here from North Alabama, but originally from up in the New York area, I think. And they are fine people. They have two sons that are preachers and two other sons that are faithful Christians. And Chip and Kelly, would you stand for just a moment and let everybody see who you are? And I urge you to get acquainted with them. They are fine people, and we're so glad to have them with us. And also meeting with the elders today was Gary Jackson. Gary worshiped with us for a time a few years ago, and he's been a part of the church in Irwin, but he has been with us the last few weeks, and I've known Gary for a while. I know his family, the Kegley family, who are just, stalwarts in the church, have been the pillars of the church in Irwin and other places. And Gary is following right in those footsteps. So Gary, would you stand for a minute and let everybody see who you are? And I also encourage you to get to know him and welcome him into our family. So glad that you all are here. Let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Will you bow with me? Father, we do praise you for all the wonderful things that you are and that you have done. Most of all, for your love and for Jesus, our Savior. Without him, Lord, we would have nothing. But one of the blessings we have because of your Son is the church. And we're so thankful, Lord, for this church and for churches throughout the world that are following in the footsteps of your Son. And Father, this morning we rejoice in welcoming these into our family, for the Nelsons, for Kelly and Chip, as well as for Gary. And Father, we pray that you will bless them as they come into our body, that they will feel welcome, that they will find their place of service very quickly, and that we as a body will be stronger as a result of their coming to be with us. We have so many, Lord, that we love and we care about, and we just thank you for each and every one. Help us to continue reaching out and to try to find many who are in need of your salvation and to do all we can to take the gospel to them. Bless us, Father, and bless this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing, When My Love to Christ Grows Weak.
As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, pray with me, please. Father, we come before you so grateful for the example of your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray that we can seek to live our lives with a dedication, a focus on achieving your will and seeking your will that was like his. Thank you so much for sending him to show us exactly how to do it as a human being, as a man who walked the earth. A greater, more loving example cannot be imagined. As we partake of this bread, and we do so in memory of his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, we pray that we do so in a manner that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray with me, please. Father, we know that the blood of Jesus washes our sins as white as snow. And we are so grateful for that blood, for his willingness to shed it on the cross so that our sins can be washed. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents his innocent blood, we pray that we do so in a manner that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And apart from the Lord's Supper, we'll now say thanks for the offering. Father, we come before you and acknowledge that everything that is good is a gift from you. We thank you, Father, for the day, for the air that we breathe, for the food that we eat, for all the resources needed to stay alive and to have the time and opportunity and the freedom to come together and worship you in the way that we're able to do. We pray, Lord, that these things might continue. And we pray that as we come now to offer back a part of what is yours already, we pray that we've been good stewards of it in the time that we've held it. And we pray that it will all be used to the benefit of your kingdom going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the wonderful opportunity that we've had today to worship you, whether in the building or online. We appreciate everyone that's participated. And Father, we pray that we thank you for the good sermon that Brother Hall has brought us. Help us to renew our determination to remain faithful to the end. Father, we thank you so much for all your blessings. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.